Welcome to another edition of TJ Slideways Live here at racesontheweb.com. I'm your host, TJ Buffenbarger, coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, all of our guests tonight appearing on the Rocket Headers Hotline. If you have a question for myself or any of our guests, you can ask it on our Facebook fan page, our Twitter account at TJ Slideways, also via email, TJ@TJSlideways.com. A little later in the show, we're going to have Tim Kading on, fresh off his win at the Kokomo Speedway. But joining us now, fresh off a victory at the Spartan Speedway, pavement sprint car driver, open wheel driver. He's done a little bit of everything over the years, and we're glad to have Jeff Kaiser joining us on the line. Jeff, first of all, congratulations with the victory at Spartan, your first time visiting up there.
Yeah, it was a good time. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, first of all, let's talk about Spartan. You got into Tom Brewer's car on Friday night, and a pretty decent field of cars up there on Friday, and a real wild feature, lots of cautions. How did you avoid all the trouble and take the victory there at Spartan?
Well, if you've ever been to New Paris Speedway, it's kind of the same thing as Spartan. It's a flat, slick, little track, quarter mile, and, you know, you just learn to look way past your front bumper and see what's going on in front of you, and some of it's luck, honestly, and you know, it worked in our favor for one time.
And of course, you take the victory there. Now, you've been doing some racing for Tom Brewer, but we were talking off the air that you are actually rideless again for 2013. So as of right now, you don't have any plans going forward.
Now I'm just I'm trying to pick up rides as I can. I start out the year with Don Wilshie and the McCune family, and after Florida, that kind of fell apart, and Tony Swanson, I was running his car, and he decided to cut back to a one-car team this year with his son, so my year, it looked like I was going to have a whole bunch of races to run, and it kind of all fell apart here in May, so right now, Tom's letting me run his driving car, you know, non-wing. We ran the Glen Nibel in April, and had an overheating problem there. We were running decent. And, you know, we went down a little 500, and we were kind of learning that deal, and ended up getting run over by a push truck. So so that's kind of how the whole Spartan deal came about. We had a car there that was kind of wrecked from the push truck, and we had a few tires that weren't in too bad a shape because we didn't get a lot of running in down there. So Thursday morning, before Spartan there, we decided to fix the car up. We had to weld the shock mount on, build a new shock, and you know, a couple things, and went up to Spartan and kind of learned our way up there. And by the end of the night, you know, we had the car pretty close, and caught a couple breaks in the feature, and ended up parking at Victory Lane. So it was a good turnaround to a bad start of the season.
And that Spartan deal, they've kind of made that deal to kind of get guys started, maybe give a venue for a weekly guy that maybe doesn't, you know, want to travel as much, a place to run a non-wing sprint car. What was your impression of the program with your first visit up there?
Well, I mean, the facility's real nice, and, you know, they're pretty lax on some of the rules. You know, I think they could tighten up. You know, they don't have anything. They're running an M55 right rear, which is different than the two wing groups, so you automatically have to go up there and buy a different tire, which most of the time you're going to buy a new right rear every night, so that's probably not a real big deal. But the other thing that we kind of noticed was they didn't have any limit on the other tires, and we were lucky, and, you know, we had some good tires from the little 500 to be able to use on the other corners of the car. So we didn't have to buy a bunch of tires, but there were some of the other fast cars up there putting 3 and 4 sticker tires, you know, on the car. And I mean, we go to, you know, Haas or Autovalley races, and we might not even put 3 or 4 stickers on for that type of race, which those races pay a lot more than what the Spartan deal pays. So, you know, I'm not a car owner. I mean, I just, you know, I earn 40% and I go home. So as a driver, it doesn't make me a whole lot of difference, but I look at it from the car owner side because I was one, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense to be buying 3 and 4 tires and running for 1,000 to win and 250 to start. So I think that you can see the car counts drop this year, and you know, if they ask my opinion, I'd say put a two tire night, you know, rule on it, stamp two tires, two new tires, and that's all you can run. And it's pretty simple. I mean, you know, you stamp the sidewall and away you go, and you limit some of the costs and you bring the competition a lot closer, because we all know, I mean, tires are the main thing. I mean, you can take, you know, a brand new car or even an older car, and, you know, if you put junk tires on a brand new car, it's not going to go anywhere. So that's the biggest thing that I saw, I guess, is just a few little things like that to limit the cost of it. And, you know, I think they'd pick up some cars.
All right, Jeff Kaiser joining us on the line. And how did you get hooked up with Tom Brewer and the Speed Chasers? You've done some races off and on for them. How did you two get together?
Well, Tom was about 10 minutes from me, so that's definitely, that was probably one of the biggest things. You know, we've just been friends for a long time. He bought a car, and I already had my own sprint car, so there were several years there where, you know, he had a driver in the car, and I ended up selling my car, and he didn't need a driver at that time, and then, you know, when he needed a driver, I was driving something else, and we just never got together. But over the last couple of years, when I've been in between a ride, you know, he's gave me an opportunity, and I'm real appreciative of that, and we get along real good, you know, and he's real technical on the setup stuff, being an engineer, and that's what I kind of pride myself on. I do the driving kind of secondary, the setup of the car and making it go fast is number one for me, so it works real good.
And you mentioned you were a car owner at one point, and you got out of that at a couple of years ago. What? How do you think that changes your perspective on the whole pavement racing thing, knowing that you were a car owner at one point and now are pretty much a hired gun?
Yeah, I still look at it. I mean, just like, you know, me and Tom were talking about whether we're going to go back up there or not, I still look at it. I don't want him going broke, you know, taking a car up there and buying three or four tires, and he's got to pay me. You know, he's going to lose a bunch of money even if we win the race, you know. I mean, he can't even break even doing that. So, you know, I still look at it, even though I drive and, you know, and earn a percentage, I still make sure that the car owner is going to be able to run the next week, because it doesn't do any good for me to, you know, take his money that one week and then next week he says he can't race, you know. So I'm always looking out to try and help the car owners. I mean, because I want to continue to get paid to drive cars, and, you know, if these prices don't go up and the costs keep going up, you know, there's not going to be any more paid rides out there.
Now, you're a north of Indy guy. You're from the Fort Wayne area. How did you get interested in sprint car racing?
Well, my dad took me to my first sprint car race when I was about 2 years old. And I obviously wasn't still awake when the feature ran, but I guess I was hooked ever since then. So my dad's to blame for that. But, yeah, I mean, we're really centrally located, you know, we're 50 minutes from the Michigan line and, you know, less than that to Ohio. And we've just, I've just grown up around it and I just love it. I mean, you know, when I'm not racing, I mean, I'm at a dirt sprint car race or maybe even a pavement sprint car race or midget race. I mean, I just love it, you know. So I'm as big a fan as I am a driver.
Now, you were doing some midget racing for Don Moore, but unfortunately, you actually got hurt in a midget testing a couple years ago and decided to step away from that.
Yeah, I mean, I had met Don 5 or 6 years ago. I had a Munchkin midget that I was selling, and he came to look at it. He didn't end up buying it, but, you know, we became friends, and he ended up buying another car, kind of a dirt car that had been converted a little bit to pavement, and it needed a lot of help. And so it was a good relationship to get started. You know, I started running that for him, and over the years, we just continued to run it indoors, and each year, you know, we just make a few improvements on it. But, yeah, a couple of years ago, I made some big changes on it, and instead of just taking it to Fort Wayne, you know, in December, like we usually do, I decided to take it out to Fairfield because it's only 15 minutes from me. And, you know, we were doing some shakedown runs on the 3/8 mile out there, which, you know, for an indoor car that runs on like 6th, 7th mile tracks, that was a lot of tracks for that car. And I don't know what happened, but one of the few things that I hadn't touched on the car was the rear panhard bar. And, you know, that was on the car when he bought it. And I don't know what happened, but somehow, you know, from what we can tell with the camera and what people saw, looked like that broke. And you know, that locates rear end left to right in the chassis. So as soon as that broke, you know, the rear end basically took over, and it didn't matter what I was doing with the steering wheel. You know, the car just shot up off the track, and the way that 3/8 is built, it's built inside of the half mile, and they bring dirt in, you know, to make the banking in 1 and 2. So basically I went off the top of that, you know, I don't know, 20 some feet in the air, and, you know, did a bunch of barrel rolls, and it came down on all fours, and you know, compression fracture on my T3 and T4, and, you know, I actually broke them all the way across. They weren't just cracked, you know, so I was very lucky that they stayed in place and didn't get into my spine. So needless to say, most people didn't think I was going to race again. And I know my doctor didn't think I was going to race again, but, like I told you earlier, once it's in your blood, you know, I just can't get away from it. So I ended up coming back, last July and, running a car for Wayne Stickney at Angola. That was my first race back. And, you know, we led over half the feature and, you know, we're looking pretty good and end up getting in a lap car and end up finishing third that night. But I knew coming right out of the box, you know, leading the feature and running third, and there was no looking back. I was back in the saddle, I guess you could say. So didn't matter what anybody was going to tell me, whether I was going to race or not. I knew I was going to race. So
that's a great story. And one thing I've noticed, I was kind of looking at your stats, even though your starts have declined a bit since you've gone from just driver instead of driver owner, but you've managed to win on a pretty consistent basis. How do you keep that sharpness when you're not in the seat as much as some of the other guys?
Yeah, you really, I mean, it sucks, you know, not racing as much, but basically I just take it even more serious than I used to. I mean, some people, you know, that don't know me real well might think I'm, you know, a little stuck up or whatever when I'm at the track, but I'm so focused on winning that there's very few people out there that probably could say they're more focused than me. I mean, when I'm there, you know, I'm only concentrating on winning that race and the car I'm driving. Yeah, I don't walk around the pits too much talking to people, you know, before the race or after the race I might, but during the race night, you know, I'm very, very focused on winning that race. So that's kind of where the wins come from. I mean, you know, I really, really want to win bad. So everybody does, but just some people, you know, concentrate a little harder on it.
And of course, Jeff Kaiser joining us on the line. You know, some of the battle lines in winged pavement sprint car racing are drawn based on supporting a particular series or whatnot. You kind of race across the different series and don't seem to let that get in the way. Do you think more teams need to take that attitude of where they don't necessarily take that into account of where they race?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way I have looked at it. I haven't taken sides, and I mean, I drove for, you know, owners that owned, obviously, the series, you know, of the car I was driving, and they'd like to see me only run, you know, their series, but, you know, for me, I just want to earn a paycheck, and so I don't care what tires we're racing on or what the series is, and, you know, a lot of the teams have decided to just go one way or the other, and it really comes down to the tires. I mean, you know, if you've got, you know, used American racer sitting there, and you don't, and if there's a, you know, Hoosier tire race coming up and you don't have any used ones to go on, and you're going to have to buy all new ones, well, you know, an owner might pass that up and just say, well, we'll just wait for, you know, one of the American racer tire shows to come on. So that's what divided it, in my opinion. I mean, the rules are pretty close to where they're really, you don't have to change your car, as far as the rules package, it's just the tires. And then, you know, there's a lot of work in changing those tires. You know, if you have to dismount all the American racers off your two sets of wheels or whatever you've got and put Hoosiers on them, I mean, it's a lot of work, you know, just in that. So, you know, that's really what's divided it is the whole tire thing.
Another thing, you're a little closer to the pavement deal, and we've seen so many pavement tracks struggling lately with car count and maybe fan count a little bit. What do the dirt tracks, do you think, what are they doing a little bit better than maybe some of the paved tracks that we're seeing?
Well, I go, like I said, I go to a ton of races, and you know, I was at I-96 a couple of hours ago, you know, for the World of Outlaw race, and at Kokomo last week for the World of Outlaw race. And these pavement tracks, you know, for whatever reason, they don't get the front gate. All they're worried about is the back gate, you know. So instead of running one support class along with the big, you know, promoting a big sprint car race and then running just, let's say, modified, these pavement tracks want to run, you know, five and six classes, and they want to start it, practice at 2 p.m, and, you know, the final feature's over at, you know, if you're lucky, 11 o'clock at night. And I mean, you know, even for us racers, that's ridiculous, and you're certainly not going to get fans to come and watch a 4 or 5 hour program, you know. I mean, 3 hours at the most is all you're going to hold, you know, some people in there. You know, it doesn't even really need to be that long. So, that's what I see on it. They just, whether it's their promotion end of it or whatever, they just don't get the crowd in the front gate. So they're just, you know, running their whole show off of what they pull in on car count and these supplement classes. So, you know, that it kind of just drives the fans away even more, you know, because it's just such a long, drawn out program.
Do you think it'd be possible to run a pavement show more like a dirt show, where you run one set of hot laps right before the race and then just run the racing program right through?
Well, I've been in this, you know, between midgets and sprint cars, I guess, a little over 10 years, and I've been saying that for 10 years. I don't understand why there's, you know, two sets of hot laps, and sometimes there's three sets of hot laps, and then they're going to qualify every car in the pit area, including the 22nd lap, you know, front-wheel drive car that can barely get around the track. You know, I just don't understand it. I mean, I think it could be done. I don't, you know, Jim Hanks is trying to, you know, push his must-be series as a premier group, and it is. But, you know, just look at what some of these, like the World Ballers, have done. I mean, they command the show. They come in and they tell the track owner exactly, you know, when they're going to run the races and how they're going to run them, and they'll have one support class and that's it. You know, I don't see why it couldn't be done. I know it's a lot to sit here, and it's pretty easy for me to sit here and say it should be done, and I'm not the one, you know, running the series, but, you know, that if they're going to try and get these series, into a premier series, you know, that's what's got to be done. No one wants to sit around and watch all these support classes, you know.
Jeff Kaiser joining us. And, Jeff, I really appreciate you taking time out to join us. Congratulations on the win on Friday. And hopefully we get to see him victory lane again if we can find you a ride.
Yeah, we're trying. Hopefully I'll be able to get time to bring that car back up to Spartan. But other than that, if you got a wing pavement sprint car, give me a call.
All righty. Jeff Kaiser joining us on the hotline. Of course, race fans, don't forget, you can listen to Race Talk Live every week here on racesontheweb.com at WFNT 1470 AM as well, every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Some of the Michigan short track racing, also some of the big national stories covered on there. That's Race Talk every Wednesday from 7 to 9 here on racesontheweb.com. We're going to take a new commercial break, but when we come back on the other side, Tim Kading is supposed to be joining us. So you're listening to racesontheweb.com, the TJ Slideways live show.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
DJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at racesontheweb.com. And joining us on the hotline, the feature winner of the World of Outlaws Sprint Car Program at the Kokomo Speedway last week, international sprint car superstar, and today tearing up the links in Indiana on his day off, Tim Kading, taking time out of his golf game to join us on the phone. Tim, I really appreciate you catching an interview between holes here.
Yeah, no problem. It's we got done a little bit ago and just kind of hanging out and relaxing the rest of this beautiful afternoon here in Indy.
All right, and you better enjoy the relaxation because we are getting into the heavy part of the season, and we were talking off the air, and originally your schedule was going to be a little more regional-based, but now it appears you're going to be doing the rest of the World of Outlaw Tour this season.
Yeah, we're gonna do pretty much, you know, all the stuff, you know, besides Canada with the World of Outlaws this year. And, you know, kind of jump around. You know, our schedule is based on about an 80 race schedule this season, and Dennis and Teresa Ross have given me ample opportunity to run. And, you know, being able to continue with the Outlaws, I think, will be a great success for both of us.
And you are having great success with the Outlaws this year, not only with the Kokomo win, but you're tied in the series for the most feature wins and third in top fives right now. So, I mean, even with the limited schedule, you're having a great season.
Yeah, you know, it's I still keep waking up every morning wanting to, you know, waiting for this dream to end. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's a great team. Dennis and Teresa Ross give me an awesome race car every night. Everybody associated with Ross Motorsports. You know, my entire crew, they get to deal with my goofiness every week and, you know, get to go out and have fun and do what I do best, and that's drive in a circle.
And you did that very well Wednesday night at Kokomo Speedway. Let's talk about Kokomo for a little bit. Does it remind you of some of the tracks at home, or is it still a little bit different?
You know, it kind of does remind me of stuff, you know, from back home. It, I would say Kokomo is almost a cross between Chico and Skagit. It's a bigger kind of quarter mile fence all the way around it. You know, you kind of get into it, and the harder you drive, the more you get better there. And you know, we drove one hell of a race. I mean, we had a great race with Kyle Larson, Shane Stewart. Greg Wilson poked his nose in there at the end, so it was definitely a great show for the fans. You know, they definitely got their money's worth that night. I can guarantee you that.
And we've talked to other guys, and they've mentioned talking about being World of Outlaws fast when you've like run some regional shows and stuff. How many races does it take when those guys have had a few starts and you haven't with them to get back up to that outlaw speed, so to speak?
You know, it's a detriment to my team. My team gives me a great race car every night. You know, we go out, we basically start it, you know, from scratch, go out, do what we know how to do, and that's go fast and turn left. You know, it's the Outlaws have, I don't even know how to say it, you know, they've put 410 racing on the map, and we have to pretty much match their speed every night, and we've done that.
Yeah, and you've done a very good job of that. Is there anything different with your team from this year to last year? You were fast last year, too. But were there any changes you guys made during the off season that may have made you just that much better this season?
I think it was being prepared more. You know, going out last year, we were kind of behind the eight ball the entire year. And this year, you know, we got everything in order during the wintertime to make it a lot better. And that was, I think, you know, detrimental was to be prepared to win races. You first have to be prepared in the shop, and that was, I think, the biggest thing that we could have done.
And of course, Tim Kading joining us. Now, you know, when we start having Wednesday races like Kokomo, that means we're hitting the main part of the season. We've got some really big races coming up, the Doty Classic, the Kings Royal. And with being on a roll like this, how happy are you to be on a roll coming into these big races like this?
You know, it's great to be on a roll. You know, having the confidence level, you know, with your team, within yourself, I think is very detrimental going into big races, you know, that we're getting ready to come up to. You know, the Doty race is a great race for Brad Doty, one of my heroes growing up. And, you know, getting into Kings Royal, where we started on the pole last year and had mechanical failure. Nationals, we made the main event, which is a feat within itself. You know, with that confidence going into these months, there, you know, the month of money is what they call it back here. So it's, you know, being prepared mentally, physically, and team wise, I think we'll be, you know, hopefully keep our momentum going and going in the right direction and not having bad luck would be great. But, you know, it's racing. You never know what could happen on the next turn.
And we've got a listener question from Jim right here in Grand Rapids. Jim wants to know about your celebrations. He says, I love Tim Kading's celebrations, the donuts. Where do you come up with how you're going to celebrate a win? And, Tim, you're famous for doing all kinds of crazy stuff after scoring a feature win. Where do you think this stuff up? Where did you get the car control to do some of this stuff?
You know, it's raw emotion. You know, it's something within. It's the first thing that you've ever done. Every time I win a main event with the Outlaws or anywhere, I treat it as, you know, one of those first main event wins that I've ever had. You know, it's something within. You know, I've just put a show on for the fans, and I want to continue that show. You know, I know a lot of people have seen, you know, what I did over in Australia, and that was a big race. You know, the car owner I was driving for, Shane Cricky, it was his cousin's race. And it was something that we had talked about previous to it. You know, I think it's just more of the raw emotion. You know, your adrenaline's going. Me being able to do that stuff over in Australia was awesome. You know, the car owner gave me permission. He said, if you win tonight, go out, and flip the thing over afterwards doing donuts. I don't even care. And, you know, coming back over to the States, not being able to showboat just as much as I could, it's more respect to the car owner. We have to continue racing, and that's the biggest thing. And it's, I can control it to a point, but when you get out there and you start doing the donuts and wheelies and stuff like that, it's almost like getting a new bicycle for Christmas as a kid. You know, you want to go jump it. You want to ride it as fast as you can, as hard as you can, jump it as far as you want. And, that's kind of how I look at that situation when, I do win a race. I love doing wheelies. I love showing off for the fans because I want fans to see the true nature of a sprint car and what you can do and what you can't do in a sprint car. And doing wheelies, donuts, whatever else you want to do after a checkered flag, it just shows the raw emotion of a race car, the raw horsepower, and it lets the fans get that much more excited for somebody that has just won a main event.
And Tim Cady joining us on the hotline here. And one other thing you got to do during your career is you ran for Steve Kinzer a little bit during the National Sprint Tour days. What did you take away from driving for Steve that maybe you still apply to your racing today?
I think the biggest thing I learned from Steve was, every night's a new night. You get in a race car, you go out there, and you drive it to its maximum potential. And, driving for Steve that year, his biggest thing, when we had our meeting was, I want you to win races, and that's what I went out and did. And, being with Dennis Roth is, his standards are high, just like mine. We want to win all the time. And, driving for Steve Kinzer was probably the best time I've ever had driving for a car owner, because he's a driver. He knows what happens in a race car. He can expect the bad luck or the turnaround or, whatever happens in sprint car racing. If it was easy, everybody'd win and cross the finish line at the same time. And being able to drive for Steve Kinzer, I think I talked to him for 2.5 hours the first time we met and got the job. And from there on out, I don't think we really talked except for a couple times at the races and congratulating after winning races. So, there's a lot of things I've taken from Steve, and the heart, simplicity, and the more you go out of your boundaries, the less you're able to proceed with racing, and take one night at a time.
Tim Cady joining us. Now, you're going to finish out the World of Outlaws tour this season. What are the chances of seeing this team on the road with the World of Outlaws in 2014?
That's probably one of the most questions I've been asked throughout this year. We're having an awesome season racing against the Outlaws. We haven't ran or competed in every event. But we're right there with the top guys. And coming out next year, it's Dennis's decision. I'm just the guy that gets in the car and gets to go have fun. Everybody else has to work week to week on the car, and I'm one that gets 90% of the grace, and so it's basically up to Dennis and Teresa. It's their race team. I've been thankful enough to have the opportunity to drive for them as long as I have, and hopefully we can continue the success into 2014.
Now, one thing coming up in the next couple weeks that unfortunately you won't be racing at due to your schedule is the Dirt Cup up at Skagit. And here in the Midwest, we hear about it, but if you haven't been there, I haven't been lucky enough to have the opportunity yet, but my friend Alan Brown has, and he's been constantly on me, like, you've got to go see a Dirt Cup sometime. Explain to the fans in the Midwest, what is a Dirt Cup like for like a West Coaster? It's one of the biggest races out there. If you had to explain it to someone out here, how would you do it?
I would almost compare it to an Eldora, Kings Royal, something to that stature. It's one of those races that I grew up with my dad racing. That was our summer break. We got to go to Washington, right at the beginning of our summer break, so it was like okay, we get to go to Washington for the first week of summer vacation. You know, and it was always a very prestigious race. You know, it's one of those races that's built up over the years. You know, it took my dad a long time to win that race, and when he finally did, it was a feat within himself. You know, he grasped it, grasped the concept of how to run that race, how to maximize your points, and be able to start up front. And, you know, within the last 10 years, you know, 10 or 12 years that I've ran it, I think I've ran second probably more than anybody and have never got that title. And, you know, me missing it this year would be the first time in probably 7 or 8 years, you know, that I've missed that event. But it's something that I think everybody should at least see once in their life, because it's a 3-day show that shows sprint car racing at its finest. You know, especially 410 racing, it's kind of dropped off the last few years with the way the economy's been, because it's not a sanctioned event, and a lot of people don't like traveling up that far, but I think it still draws in, you know, a great group of drivers, especially from the West Coast. You know, you have Jonathan Allard, who's won it several times. He's one of the hardest guys to beat at Skagit when we go up there. And he understands that concept of how to get points, how to maximize the points, and be able to go for it. And I think they could change a few things on it, but it is still, you know, the king's. It's the King's Royal of the West Coast, is what it is.
Now you're what I'd call a sprint car lifer. You've grown up around it with your dad racing and stuff, much like I grew up with my dad around it, going to the races, and. Now you're in a position to where you're a top-notch driver, and you're the guy signing the kids' T-shirt, and you're the guy that people want to see after the races. Do you ever sit back and just kind of go, man, this all has finally kind of come together like a childhood dream of yours of sorts?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it would be a childhood dream. I never really expected to be this caliber of a driver. You know, I've kind of lucked into a lot of big races and won a lot of races. But my driving style was always an aggressive driving style. And, you know, within the last few years, I learned one thing, you know, crashing as much as I used to and winning, it didn't play out right. You know, you'd take yourself out of contention more than you would keep yourself in contention. And with me learning in the last few years, being consistent, just finishing races was a lot better, you know, psychologically for the car owner, for me, because I wasn't tearing stuff up, I wasn't sore, and, you know, being able to finally get to this level of being a sprint car driver can be overwhelming at times, and I understand where a lot of guys come from when they get this success, and I'm finally, you know, gaining it now that, you know, that I'm almost 35 years old this year. I had to talk to my mom about it, and I asked her, I said, what am I doing so different in a race car? And she said, you finally grew up, and I had to laugh at her. You know, and it's like, why do you say I grew up? And she's like, you've grown up to an extent where, you know, finishing and being there at the end is a lot more important than being that guy that can do things that a lot of people never try or do, in crashing or having a bad night, where when you can just keep going, it kind of rolls into itself. And my motto this year is top five, stay alive. You know, the more top fives I get, the more races I get in the long run, because I'm continuously, you know, finishing races and staying right in the hunt and being able to give myself that opportunity to win races. And it still is that dream that, you know, like I said, I want to wake up from. I don't really, I pinch myself every morning when I get up and make sure it's not a bad dream, but you know, I'm going to take these memories and moments and run with them the best I can right now.
One last question. You do go to Australia over the winter and go overseas to do any racing. Do you have any plans to do that again this year?
Yeah, you know, it's all determined on what Dennis and Teresa Rock want to do next year. The Cricky family has given me the opportunity to come back for the next couple of years with them, which would be awesome. I think it was, detrimental to the success that I've had so far this year because it kept me racing. It kept me motivated and kept me pointed in the right direction in racing, and it kept my skills sharpened. So, hopefully we can do it again this year, based on what Dennis and Teresa would like me to do this next year.
All right. Well, Tim, I really appreciate you taking time out to join us, and best of luck at all the big races coming up, and look forward to seeing you out at the Doty and the Kings Royal.
No problem. Thank you, and I hope you guys have a good night.
All right. Thanks. Tim Kading joining us on the hotline, and what an awesome interview. There's a guy that gets it. I mean, I say that quite often. This guy gets it. He's been a lifer in sprint car racing, and it's a different Tim Kading than we would have interviewed maybe 4 or 5 years ago even. Like I said, top five and stay alive. I like that. We're going to have to kind of use that in the future. So Tim Kading joining us. We're going to take another commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on Races on the Web.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
back to TJ Sideways Live here at racesontheweb.com. You've heard from Jeff Kaiser, Tim Kading, and we're getting ready to wrap up the show. A few final notes. Best wishes going out to one of our good friends, Greg Wheeler, who was injured at the Butler Motor Speedway on Saturday. It's going to be in a halo for a while. You can get the update on tjsideways.com on where to send him cards and stuff. Wish Greg and his family all the best. I know they're going to need a lot of well wishes. It's a long recovery process, so make sure to drop him a note whenever you have a chance. Also, it's MIS weekend. I want to wish all the best to all of our friends, Roger Curtis and everybody out at Michigan International Speedway. It's a big racing weekend up here. And if you're around MIS, there are sprint car races at Hartford, Michigan, over at Butler. Toledo has the big Auto Value Super Modified show. And anyone coming in from Canada that wants to catch a sprint car show, the MTS and OTS sprint cars are at South Buxton, which is kind of on the way to MIS. So you can catch all of those programs on the way to the big track on Sunday. Indiana Midget Week coming up. Mudclod Bob's going to be out at Gas City on, I believe it's Wednesday night. He'll be out there. I have some prior commitments, but we're sending him out there. He's done a great job covering the Spartan Sprint Cars for us this year and some other events. His update's getting a lot of traffic on the site last Friday night from Spartan. Probably the good car count had something to do with that too, but he did a great job keeping up with the action there. And man, we're right on that busy time of the year. Well, you talked about Dirt Cup, Ohio Sprint Speed Week, Indiana Midget Week, all right here. We've got the fastest short track show in the world. Sprint Cars Super Modifieds over at Lucas Oil Raceway at Indianapolis coming up. I mean, just a plethora of big races coming up, and we're getting geared up. That's one of the reasons we can't go to Midget Week. We gotta have to take a real vacation in here. We're going up north here in a few weeks, and we have to do that so we can come back and hit this big schedule hard. We can go to the Doty, the Best of Both Worlds weekend, Indiana Sprint weekend, the Kings Royal in the same weekend. We're gonna send Mudclod Bob out to Kokomo. I'll be at Eldora. Just lots of neat stuff like that coming up, and it's a great time of year to be a sprint car fan. We're really looking forward to this. This is one of our banner years. We're having a great season with the website, and I want to thank everyone for reading and listening in. And one last note, later this week or next week, if everything falls together, we're going to have a special edition podcast with a special guest. We're working out the final details. Look for the information to come out probably tomorrow or Wednesday on a special interview. Should be extended interview with a very special guest. You'll want to stay tuned for that. So on behalf of everyone at TJSideways.com and RacesOnTheWeb.com, it's time to sign off for another week. Thank you for listening live or on the podcast, and we'll do it again next Monday night at 8 o'clock here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Thank you and good night.